All right, today, 1 Corinthians 13. Starting out just looking at the fact of spiritual gifts and the things that we've explored together is if we are saved, then we have the Holy Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit, then we have been given a spiritual gift. If we have a spiritual gift, then it is to edify or to build up the church. And if we use that spiritual gift in a way to edify and build up the church, then we glorify God. And so that is the purpose of it. And then last week we looked at the second part of 1 Corinthians 12, where it gave us the illustration of the human body. And it said that we are all members of it. We are all individually parts of the human body for the purpose of functioning in a way as His church, and where Christ is the head and we are different parts. And afterwards, I had a conversation with somebody, had something I didn't even think about, talking about the hidden parts when we read that last week. I mean, when you think about the hidden parts, we usually go to the parts where that even at the beach we keep hidden. But when she said, you know, what about like the liver? You know, who's the liver? The reality is that we can't live without a liver. We never see our liver. We really don't want to see the liver, do we? And without the liver, we would die. And so the same is with the church. With that, you know, we think about the parts where, you know, Paul mentioned, you know, the sense of smell, so the nose, the eyes, the ears, the foot, you know, the hand, because he mentioned those things. But the reality is that it requires everybody that is involved. And if you're not involved in some way, if you have yet to make that commitment, that covenant to the body of Christ, to the church, to where you can, where your spiritual gift can be used in such a way, then we are not yet in the place where we need to be. And here in my study Bible, it said that, again, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, we're just studying those together because they go together. We were doing it on Wednesday night, and we had a break where it'd be good to bring it on Wednesday or Sunday morning, because we all need to hear these things, because it's speaking to the church, to the whole church. But it said that on verse or chapter 12 was kind of like Paul's just coming against or admonishing the church, the early church there in Corinth, because of their lack of loves, because they're failing to use their gifts in the way to strengthen and edify the church. And then in chapter 13, it defines real love. And then in chapter 14, it is how love works. And so so today we're in chapter 13, and where we're looking at what is love. Again, coming back. The body, as a, I hear the cricket. I hear, is it yours?
Yes.
Mash that bug. All right. Would somebody help her turn? And that's what we're talking about, the church coming together and loving and working each other. It's okay. Miss Lavinia, a young person, would not have confessed that. Well, we love you, and that's what we're doing. But again, we got to come together. In moments like this, I mean, that was just a little example that was funny. But we got to come together, and that's how God created us, that we are a body and that we function together, we help each other. But without love, there is no part. There's no way that we can function together. It's love that holds us together. And speaking of these hidden parts, you know, there are so many people that work behind the scenes here. So many people. And I could call out their names. And if I did call out their names, I would be in so much trouble, because that is their spiritual gift. That is the way God has called them to serve. But I am thankful. And if you are among the folks that work behind the scenes doing so much, I love you as well. And thank you for all that you do for our body here, our church body. But again, going back to the body of the church, the function to glorify God, and then we see in Acts 2, at the end of Acts 2, where God is adding to their numbers day by day, because there's a people who are devoted to prayer, devoted to Bible study, devoted to fellowship, which means they're loving each other. They were devoted to worshiping God, and they're devoted to service. And how are they serving? They're serving through their spiritual gift. And God was adding to their number, not because they were just having a great gathering, but they were coming to their gathering, they were getting equipped by the word of God, and then they were going out and they were loving and they were serving, sharing their testimony, sharing the love of Christ, and it was through their lives that God was working. And we're going to see today that is because of this love that the Holy Spirit inspires to be written by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read. If you're one who likes to stand as we read the Word of God, I invite you to do that now as we pray. Father in heaven, Lord, today we look at a very popular passage, in popular passage because it defines love. And love is important to everybody. And this passage has even been used in ways that it was not intended. And Lord, may we not be among those who use this, but I pray, Lord, that you would help us understand what you are speaking. Give us ears to hear, give us minds to know, and hearts to understand and obey what you have for us today through your word, through your spirit in us. And may we be a group, a family, Lord, of those who love you and love one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 13, verse 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It says, "If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous, does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now, I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now, faith, hope, love, abide these three, but the greatest of these is, help me, church, love." You may be seated. So here we're talking about love. And now we think about love in so many different ways, and our one word, love, it really fails to define love in its all of its forms and all of its ways. And the Greeks, they had several words for it. This is agape. Now, some of the love that we may be familiar with is one, two of them we don't find in Scripture whatsoever in the New Testament. The first is eros, and eros is that passionate love. You know, remember when you first met your wife or your husband and you got those little flutters and that passionate love. Eros is also the passionate love that we can have for patriotism, and that we're just passionate about something. And sometimes eros, that type of love, we got to say, is it love? Or it can even be confused sometimes with even lust and can lead to sinful things. And then also there is it's stergo, which is an affectionate love, where you see that between like a parent or a child. There is that affectionate love. Then there's the phileo love, which is an endearing love, a cherishing love, where I just mentioned husband and wife. Oftentimes that love is It is maybe sparked by the eros, but then it becomes more of a more of the phileo, the endearing, the cherishing love. We also see this kind of love between friendships and Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, with the root with there being phileo. So there's that friendship type of love, the endearing and cherishing. But then what we're talking about today is the agape love. And we're talking about it's a selfless love too. And when we bring the agape into a marriage, it even strengthens the marriage even more than what God intended. It's a selfless love. It's a sacrificial love. It is agape. It is a love. And I said marriage. Let me back up there too. This isn't just a love for marriage. We're not talking about marriage right now. This is the love of God. This is who God is. This love is for everybody. This is the kind of love that is able to love everyone. And it is able to even love the unlovable. I mean, the whole fact that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, it is that kind of love, that even though we were rebellious and sinning against him, he still loved us. Again, this agape, it's a love of God. It's a kind of, we can't have this type of love outside of the Holy Spirit being in us. We can experience love. We can have these types of traits. We can be kind people, but without the Holy Spirit, this kind of love, again, is impossible. So again, what is this talking about love? First, we see in verses 1 through 3, we see that love is foundational. It's foundational. Paul brings out of these first three, he talks about tongues, and he's talking about those of foreign languages and those of supernatural, the spiritual gift of tongues. It talks about prophecy. He talked about knowledge. He talked about faith. All those things are spiritual gifts that we read about in chapter 12. But he's saying, hey, if I can have all these things, I can have all these things, but if I have love, essentially, I am nothing. Love is foundational to who we are as followers of Christ. It's foundational to our creation. God created us. He created us, man and woman. He created us in the image of God, and he created us for love. Even though Adam and Eve, they first sinned, because of his love, he could have just crushed them there. He could, but because of love, he provided for them in that moment. And he even, we see him in throughout the Old Testament walking with man. And we see with Noah, he could have crushed all human race, but there was one that was righteous among them all because of his love. He spared human race, even though you could say, well, that was sparing. Yes, that was sparing, thank God. And so we see all this through this, that even in judgment, there is always the love, the agape love that is God is showing, that if you turn to me, turn to me, turn to me. And then we see, even in the midst of our sin, like I just shared, that even in our rebellion, God loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and it's through him that we can bring that we can have salvation, and that we can be filled with the Spirit and know this love. And it is through that love that everything can be built off of. Love is a foundation. No matter what we build, no matter if we even build a big old building here, if we fill up multiple buildings and multiple services and do all those things, if we have love, we are nothing. We are nothing. Love is foundational. Nothing matters without it. I mean, what does he give us? And we find in Scripture in Mark 12, 29 and 30 through 31, we have the great commandment. I mean, when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? And he says to this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is this, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the greatest thing. If there's nothing else that we can do, what can we do? We can love our neighbor. We can love, or we love our Lord first, and then through that love, we love one another. You may be thinking, Pastor, you don't know my neighbor. That's why we're talking about agape love right now. You may not phileo your neighbor. You may not eros your neighbor. You may not sturgo your neighbor. But God does call us to agape our neighbor. You know, I want to look at 1 John. We'll be 1 Corinthians and 1 John. Just, you can't talk about the love of God without going into 1 John. We could read much of 1 John, but I'm just going to camp out in the second half of chapter 4. 1 John 4, we're going to look at 7. I'm going to read 14 scriptures, but it's good. It's good. Listen to this. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from," help me, "from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is," what? "Love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That means he took our place. And it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, and if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his," what, church? "His Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected in us so that we might have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world." That's awesome to think about, isn't it? Verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first," what, church? "Loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have for him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." Oh, the love of God. It is foundational. As we see here, is God is love. It is who God is. It is through Christ that we have been saved. And we have his Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, we abide in this love. It's who we are. It's who God is. It's who we are. And it's what is being perfected in us. Next, in verses 4 through 8, and back in, and you can hold your finger there in 1 John. We'll be going, I won't be doing anything else, at least not planned. I'll be going from 1 Corinthians 13, looking at some things, and I will point out some things in 1 John. But next we see, so love is foundational. Love is also transformational. It is transformational. In verses 4 through 8, we see different traits here. Love is patient and kind, not jealous, does not brag, it is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, it's not provoked, does not take account into wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It says love never fails. Look to your neighbor, because what we do in church, it should be more face-to-face than back-to-back. Is there any one of these that you can confess to your neighbor that you struggle with? You may not want to talk. I mean, you can talk. Go ahead and talk to your neighbor. What one is most important to you? Tell your neighbor, out of all these things, out of all these things that love is, what's the most important to you? Of course, the right answer is they're all important to us. I I hear some talking going on. It's okay to talk in church. We need more of it. Just not while I'm talking, right? I sometimes can struggle with patience. And especially, you know, just spent their time. I got things to do. I got, you know, and so patience. Anybody ever struggle with patience? Yeah. There's sometimes that I wouldn't think it, but maybe my family would say maybe I even struggle with kindness. Anybody ever been accused of being grumpy? There's some of y'all's, I'm looking out of the corner of my eye to see if y'all are. And I don't mean to be grumpy. They said, Dad, why are you being grumpy? And I'm like, I'm not grumpy. And they're like, you're just too happy. Oh, yeah. It says that it's being perfected in us. Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. But love transforms us. And when we look at this list between verses 4 and verses 8, we see some things that we struggle with. We may struggle with in our own personality and in our own walk and in our own character. And we may even struggle when somebody doesn't love us in this way. And some of us may keep a record of wrongs. Well, I don't talk to sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, or to my neighbor or to even my own biological brother and sister, or to my mom or dad or to who or this or that, because there was a time back in 19 or 2001 or whatever, there was a day when they did this and I'm not talking to them anymore. I can't love them. I can't trust them. For whatever reason, no, I'm not going to go tell my neighbor about Christ out on the street because he's just the most ungodly person that I know. Oh, maybe we struggle. We struggle. The reality is that we all struggle with love. But we see it's transformational. First, we see that God's love first is transformational through Christ. Through God's love through Christ. Remember what we saw in 1 John? What we just read just a minute ago, and especially in verses 9 and 10, it's not going to come up on the board, but where it says, by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And it says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means that he took our place. There is outside of Christ and the love of God and his grace and his mercy, there is no transformation for us. Again, we could end up being moral people. We could be good people. We can be leaders in different community type things. We can be great in our business, great in our trade, and great in these things. But when we get to the gates of heaven, we've already read what Jesus said at the end of chapter 7. And where it said, there's many of us that may get there and say, Lord, Lord. And he says, depart from me because I don't know you. And we say, Lord, Lord, look at all that we did. No, I don't know you. Why is it? Because it's about what Christ has done. The love of God is transformational because he sent Jesus Christ, and we have to come to that place of faith, believing what he has done for us, repenting of our sins, and then living in such a way that is, again, transformational. It brings us to the next thing. So God's love through Christ transforms us when we come to faith and repentance. But then our love for God, it transforms us. It transforms how we live. Transforms how we live. We didn't read this before, but let's look at John 5, 1 through 3. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this, we know we love the children of God. So already what we just read supports what we just read in chapter 4. But by this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe, listen to this church, observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Oh, and then it goes in and talks about overcoming the world. So God has transformed us. He has transformed us completely, and we're in this journey of sanctification. Not that we just came to the gates of salvation. We entered in through the narrow gate, and we've refused to walk the narrow path, which actually the translation of that word phlebos there is really we fail to walk the difficult path. No, we continue on in sanctification, and our love for God transforms the way we live because we come to the reality of the things that we read Jesus saying, that we read that is being written here in 1 John through the Holy Spirit, that we read in almost in the Old Testament, New Testament, throughout, is that we come to the place, and because we love God, we read His Word, we understand His Word, and we begin to conform our lives to the commandments of God. And Jesus says it, if you love me, keep my word. If you love me, keep my commands. We read this again where it says that, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commands. His commandments are not burdensome. And when we love God and observe His commandments, it says that it is so clear in this passage and all. Again, it is transformational when we get into the Word of God. We read the word there, abide. Abide. That means that we are seeking God. We're not just attending church. We're just not doing this or that. We're not just going to a fellowship. That means every day we're, Lord, how do I live in this situation? What do I do here? Lord, you are my God. Lord, forgive me for this. Lord, again, it's being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is the goal. That's where we're going. That's what we are doing. Some, we've heard this, we've talked about this before, but why would a loving God send someone to hell or allow bad things to happen? You ever hear that question? Yeah, why would a loving God send somebody to hell? Friend, listen to this. The issue is never God's love. The issue has never been God's love. We just read in here that He loves the world, that He sent Christ. And it says in verse 14 of 1 John 4, it says, we have seen and testified the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God's love is there. Where the failure is always our love for Him through the way we seek to know Him and keep His commands. That is the problem. Oh, but God loves us, whatever your preference is, this or that, and the sin you live in. But God loves me. But God loves me. We should be allowed to do this because God loves me. You're right. God loves you. God loves you. I don't care what you are and who you are and what you do and the choices that you make and the depravity that you live in. God loves you. That is true. But what we find when it comes to love, do we love God? If we do love God, we're going to seek Him. If we do love God, we're going to learn to know His commandments. And as we know His commandments, we are going to repent and we're going to conform our lives to the way God says, this is the way we ought to live. That's our love for Him. So God's love, it transforms us through the work of Christ on the cross. It transforms our lives and how we live. And then we see that also that God's love through us transforms the lives of other people. I'm in verse 12 and 13, just looking back at that, it says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. Oh, coming back to all what Paul has been talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, that we have been given the Spirit, and we have the love of God. Without the love of God, we are nothing. We come together because we love God. We want to worship Him. We fellowship because we love one another. We are filled with His love, but then we go out in that no one has seen God, but we are filled with God. We are filled with His Spirit. We are filled through our love, and through with His love. And as we go out, His love is poured out of us, and it is that kind of love that will change the world. I mean, look at all the issues that we have going on in our country. Division. There's division politically, division racially, division sexually, division, and just all kinds of things. And guess what? The politics and all the talking going on CNN and Fox and all those things, it's not going to change the world. All those things are the way we're going to vote. We still need to vote. But the things that are really going to bring change is the church. You know, you, every one of you, if you are saved and you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you live faithfully and you live according to His commands, you have the Spirit of God and you have the capability of loving in such a way those people that you meet that you'll change their life. And imagine if every Christian throughout the country began loving and letting the Spirit exercise through them in the neighborhood, in the marketplace, at work, and we began to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and the love of God coming through us, lives would be changed. Regardless. What do you mean, even being nice to homosexuals? Of course. Of course. You know, of course, being nice to that person that I know was a drug dealer, of course. You don't buy drugs from them. You don't take him or her on a date. Being nice to that person that said mean things to me, of course. Again, you don't have to go to lunch with them, but maybe you should. Jesus ate with sinners. Again, how is the grace of God supposed to be shown if it is not loved via flowing through the people of God? Well, what about this? What about that? It doesn't matter. It's about the love of God. It starts in the morning. It starts in the morning when you get on your face. And I say get on your face if you're physically able, but hopefully somehow you pray more than just get morning. Hopefully you pray at least, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Help me, lead me, love through me, and prepare me for the day that you have for me. How can your love be poured out? I tell you, the work of God in the world that we find in Scripture isn't God just zapping people all around, and then they come and they're going to walk in here on Sunday mornings. That can happen and does happen. All the work that God wants to do in the world today is through the people of His church. Christ is the head. We are the body. We are the parts being filled with the Spirit and working accordingly. And without the church at work in the world, then we're not doing our part and we're being disobedient to God. We are hoarding His love, if it's in us at all. God's love through us transforms the lives of others. It's who we are. It's the church. It's our mission. It's the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Finally, we see that. Yeah, I want to just stop there and pray. I want to pray for our country. I mean, if that person in El Paso yesterday was filled with love, that would have never happened. I can't say anything. Well, I'm not going to say anything about it, but I am going to pray for our country. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your love in such a way that we, Lord, would be those who walk faithfully with you, and that we are those that keep your commands, and that we are those that feel your love, and that you would fill us with such love that as we go, that with the lives that we touch will be changed forever. Your scripture talks about planting seeds. Lord, we may not see the results, but I pray that we would be faithful in loving. Lord, all people, Lord, regardless of their race, their socioeconomic status, regardless of their gender, regardless of their background, regardless if they loved us or if they didn't, regardless of what other list of things that we can create, Lord, help us be a people of love. And we pray that, Lord, we pray that you would rekindle. We've been praying that you would rekindle the Spirit and the gift within us. We pray, Lord, that you would rekindle the love within your people and that it would flow through us in ways that we just, this is baffling. And it is just, will be awesome. We pray that not only for us, but for all churches in this country. Lord, that there would be a revival in this country. Lord, it's not the Republican Party, not the Democratic Party, not the Independent Party, not the all these different cardinal parties that are out there. Lord, it is your church, and we pray that your church would stand up and love in such a way that changes this country and the world. And Lord, we do pray for those in El Paso that are hurting today. Lord, we pray for those in our lives that are hurting today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the love of God in us and through us. Finally, we see that love is eternal. It is eternal. Back in 1 Corinthians, First Corinthians 13, and looking at the second part of 8 through 13, and part of one of these things here is verse 8 is abused and misunderstood and proclaimed by many in ways that are not true. It talks about how here a lot of the spiritual gifts disappear because of verse 8. In verse 8, where it says, love never fails, then semicolon, and then, but if there are gifts, and it names prophecy, and it names tongues, and it names knowledge, and it says, these things will be done away. Will be done away. And so you read that, and you're like, whoa, so why do we still do them? And you got to read it within context. It will be done away. But what Paul is talking about here is that right now we are the church of God and we live in this existence here on earth. But there is coming a time where we're going to be in an eternal life with God. And at those times, we are going to be in the perfect and those gifts aren't going to be needed. So he says what he says in verse 8, but then in verse 14, chapter 1, it's not going to be on the board. If you're open there, you can just read it there. The chapters and the numbers for the verses, you know, that were put there for us so we could be on the same page and we could find things. Paul wasn't writing 14:1. But it says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. That one verse says that, hey, I'm dealing with something else. He's saying, hey, desire the spiritual gifts, not that they're going to be done away with now. But listen to this. He said, he talks about those things. They will cease. You know what? If there is knowledge, it will be done away. I think somebody has really been real with that one. But it says, for now we know in part, we prophesy in part. Why? Because we're still broken. But when the perfect comes, has the perfect come yet? No, judgment day hasn't happened. Praise God. That's why we got to work. That's why we got to go out and love. It says, when the perfect comes, talking about eternal love, the partial will be done away with. The partial is now. In verse, moving down to 12, and then in 13, we see for now. And then we say, but then. And then it says, but now I know, but then I will know. God, Paul here in the Holy Spirit is comparing the now to the then. The brokenness of this world to the perfection of the kingdom of heaven. Love is eternal. Again, after judgment, when we get into heaven, we're not going to need spiritual gifts. But right now, the spiritual gifts that we have are for work in the world, to build up, to serve, and to strengthen the church. Not just this gathering, but to strengthen you, for you can go out and do the work of God and change the world. Again, it's for the church. In the fraternity, we're going to be in the presence of God. Our work will be done. That's why we have only a short time to do the things that we need to do. Oh, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what today holds. Love now. Some of you are going to go to lunch afterwards. You talk about, you know, one of the things, a pet peeve. Can I share a pet peeve? I'm trying to wrestle with that. Is you hear waitresses talk about all the time. I've been on this soapbox before. I tell you what, I encourage you to be generous. Well, I left a track with a $100 bill in there. I hope. Oh, my word. Let's show love. People leaving the church all dressed up in their fancy duds and going out to eat and complaining. Well, he or she didn't do what they're supposed to do. Well, agape love says you're going to tip them even more. They're going to have having a bad day, but they didn't fill my drink. Well, still tip them, still do the right thing, because just think about all the things that you have done and what Christ has done for you. That's agape love. That's a practical way to exercise agape love. Well, I prayed for him or her. I asked him, well, what can I pray for you about? Well, good for you. But then I left him 50 cents. Oh, well, your prayer didn't go very far. I encourage you to text, or not to text. Don't text, not in church. I encourage you to tip 20% at least on the taxable amount. Not just on the, I know you're supposed to tip upon, on the taxable amount and round up. At least. Oh, be generous. Love. But again, going to this. Love, as we're wrapping it up here, is the greatest of human qualities. And this type of love, again, is through the Holy Spirit. Josh, you can go ahead and come up here. I read this in my study Bible. It's talking about in verse 13, it says, but now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. I read, faith is the foundation and the content of God's message. It's our faith that changes us, that transforms us, that is our foundation. It's our faith, what God has done. But the hope is the attitude and the focus that we have. We have this faith and we have this hope. This hope guides us in the way that we live. But then it says, love is the action. Love is the action. We have this faith, we have this hope, and this love is the action of the faith and the hope. Friend, if you're not very loving, if you're not doing the things of God through you, if they're not being done through you, then where's your faith? Where's your hope? And then it says, I quote, it says, when faith and hope are in line, we are free to love completely because we understand how God loves. And so my question to you today is, where's your love? And if you struggle with love, and if we struggle with love as a church, then what does that say about our faith and about our hope? Where's your faith? Maybe today you've realized that, hey, you know a lot about God, but you don't know God. Maybe today you've come, and for the first time, this word propitiation, the fact that Jesus took your place because of the love of God, that has made a difference in your life. I would love to talk to you. I'd love to hear about the work that God is doing in your life today. He calls us to believe in him and to repent of our sins. But if we are already followers of Christ, the hope that we have in him and the knowledge that we have of him through his word leads us to live transformed lives and to be the most loving people on this earth, the agape type of love of people. Maybe you're struggling in hope. Oh, come and see me. I would love to talk to you about that. What does Christ say? What do we find in Scripture? Oh, come to me, those of you that are heavy and burdened. And then also Scripture tells us to cast our cares upon him. Some say cast our anxieties upon him because he what? He cares for us. He loves us. He loves us. Big, big idea today. Love. We are nothing without it. Faith, hope, and love. Where are you in these things? Deal with that today. And may God be glorified through the work, through the way you love as you go today.